Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Week two of lockdown podcasting. Do you guys ever write great parody songs, but they're like, you're worried they're offensive, so you can't sing them?
My whole life.
There's a well-known New Zealand song called When I Saw You in Verona, and that just lends it so well to Corona, but I'm like, this is, you know, people are dying out there, I can't sing it, right?
I think you can sing it. What does LMNOP think?
Because it works so good. It works so, when I saw you get Corona, you sat down and moved over. It's perfect.
Sing the whole song.
Well, I don't know. I haven't worked out all the details yet, but it's going to be a Weird Al Yankovic-style hit. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Advanced Analytics. My name is Guy Williams. I forgot my own name. I'm joined by JT via the phone. JT, how are you?
Hi, everyone.
And he hasn't managed to talk on the podcast yet, which is making me feel very suspicious. My brother Paul Williams is here too.
Hello.
It is time for Advanced Analytics. I just get so excited to have people to talk to, you know? I'm glad to talk to you guys.
Yep.
Me too. Paul, are you excited? I'm not sure I can quite read the tone of your voice at the moment.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm just quickly trying to do some prep for Magic Mayhem.
I didn't even say Magic Mayhem was in the show, but we'll give it our best try.
Not in the show.
I wanted to ask...
I've got some mayhem to throw in the mix when it's time, Paul.
It's the backbone of the podcast. You can't have... The podcast doesn't stand up without it. Holding up the top part of the podcast, the head and the arms and stuff.
Whoa. Well, I wanted to ask you guys just briefly, what has been the best and worst thing of self-isolation so far? Can I ask you guys that? Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
So best for me was, if it wasn't for the existential like dread,
yeah,
that's like the anxiety about the whole thing is the worst part. But if it wasn't from that, I'm loving it, absolutely loving it.
Cause
I get to go. I use my. I've got a park right next door for my isolated exercise. It's sunny, and the latest season of Curb Your Enthusiasm was so good.
I didn't think it was.
I thought it was really good.
Can I rebut you on that? Like, I just feel like the world is changing, and no one wants to hear an old, rich white man complain about his mundane problems at the country club anymore. Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I right?
But wasn't that, and that was the joke in itself, Guy, though, wasn't it? It was sort of like a piss take of the, David Brent, Ricky Gervais style late life, you know, not late life comeback, but you know how Ricky Gervais and loads of other old white guy who are sort of edgy comedians when they're younger and then they get old and just do that's the same, like, Jerry Seinfeld does it to a degree as well.
Yeah.
And I sort of thought that was part of the joke.
No, I just feel like he's just been doing the same thing for 10 seasons and now it's stale.
Oh, man, that John Hamm episode was so good.
I didn't even get that far. I watched about 6 episodes. I'm all about that Veep these days, eh? It's so funny, that show. I recommend starting midway through the seasons, though, because season 1 and 2 are a little bit like Parks and Recreation and a few other shows. Like, it starts a bit slow, but once it gets cooking...
I strongly disagree with starting things halfway through the season.
No. Halfway through, like, the series. Like, start at season 3.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, because, like, well, Parks and Recreation, right, the pilot episode, the first season, in fact, is trash. And it's like, you only watch it if you're a super fan. You need to start at season 2. With Veep, I would probably recommend, because season 1 and 2 are a little bit slow-moving and the characters aren't quite as developed as they are later on. I'd almost recommend starting at season 3 or 4 and just going back to season 1 and 2 when you're ready for it, you know?
Agreed. So I'm currently having this challenge with my wife. I suggested doing an Office, US Office rewatch, and I'm a big fan.
Yeah.
And it's pretty grueling that those first few episodes are a tough watch, especially
We're
now.
Doing US Office.
US Office, yeah.
Yeah, I rewatched them on a plane recently. I didn't think they were that bad, but it does get a lot better, the show, right?
It's more if you're trying to introduce it to someone.
Yeah,
you know, right. Like, if you could start with the sort of mid-season Andy Bernard heavy episodes, that'd be all that.
Yeah. Right. Paul, what's your high and low of the Corona break?
I'm not finding it that different to how low is just not being able to just go to the movies or eat out.
Yeah, I think eat out and buy food is buy food from Uber or something is a big one for me.
Yeah, eating out and going to the movies and even just like a change of scenery, going and playing football on a Saturday morning. But yesterday my mum got told off for swimming in the ocean. I've been swimming in the ocean as well, and turns out the police, they don't want you to drown and take up like hospital resources, so no swimming.
Yeah, casual swimming near your house, it seems weird they're cracking down on that, but I mean,
well, I think also she was maybe far out, like when I go swimming I just stay like pretty close in, you know.
Yeah.
But she swam out to some boys, like the water boys. She didn't go out to
hang out with some boys, some hot boys.
Meet some boys.
That would be cool, though. I reckon the police would be all good for that. Maybe the police were the hot boys she was trying to chat up, and she got herself into a lot of hot water.
But the low point, is just, I guess what JT said, just the kind of dread of
the world ending.
Yeah, when's it going to finish? And it's sad because it's cancelling stuff that I was really looking forward to. The Melbourne Comedy Festival.
R.I.P.
The Edinburgh Fringe, I think, just got cancelled yesterday. The New Zealand Comedy Festival.
R.I.P.
Mm.
I saw an article about the over 50s Cricket World Cup getting cancelled. I was like, "That no one's sad about that. Come on. The over 50 Cricket World Cup. There's a few articles out there. There's a lot of things out there. It's sad they're going, but like when it's a world crisis, I think you can go, hey, let's take a year off the over 50s Cricket World Cup. I think that'll be fine.
So I've got a thing that I hate that reminds me of. I hate the Masters games.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really hate them. And it just seems like, again, something that was not exclusively white people, but mainly sort of like middle-class white people invented something because they weren't good enough at sports. Just, and they were like, oh, I want to be good. So we'll just make this thing.
Yeah. It's,
I think a lot of them, though, probably used to be athletes, right? And now they're just old.
I'm not sure. I think it would be like max 10% used to be any good.
Right.
They always highlight the ones who are ex-pros who are doing it, but you should have a chat with our dad because he's the biggest fan. He was the main referee and administrator, I think, for the basketball at the World Masters Games. But largely I think it's just like a very expensive version of social sports for old people where you travel the world. We'll probably do it in a few years, so it's not bad.
Love it. I think.
I've got no issue with the thing running. It's the way people talk about it like it's the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like, I'm training for the Masters Games. It's like, well, that's just something that you like don't have to get into.
Yeah.
You can just turn up on the day, really.
Yeah, it's same with people. Yeah.
I'll tell you who will be excited for the over 50s, because you were talking about people shouldn't be disappointed the over 50 Cricket World Cup is cancelled. Hmm. But I'll tell you who it's good news for, the 49-year-olds. Suddenly, they're available.
Yeah, it's a very good point.
So a few players will be gutted because they'll be like, oh, you know, I'm 72. I'm holding the team back. There's going to be a fresh batch of 50-year-olds in a year's time. I might not make the team come next year, you know?
Yeah, in big trouble. JT, I heard you were working on your jump shot with an Instagram coach. That sounds weird.
So, look, guys, I've got a mea culpa here. I've given up trying to dunk. So I just don't think it was going to happen, to be honest. I don't like to give up. That's totally my brand. I love giving up. So I have tried to, I've pivoted to building some, like a jump shot with an Instagram coach. So I've put a link in a short video of a slow-mo video of what I've been working on in the doc for you guys to review at your leisure. But things have gone pretty well.
Whoa! So there's a guy on Instagram who judges your technique and sends you feedback.
Yeah, you just send him videos from three different angles, and he gives you like a training plan.
Wow. Okay, so I've got the video open in front of me. Are you watching it, Paul?
No.
Let's just
link it on the doc.
I can open it.
Paul didn't know we had a show doc. I'm going to have a look now. It's very slow motion form. Wait. You shooting, is it a turnaround jump shot?
Yeah, it just lets the way. That's one of his training tips. You stand the opposite direction, run the 3-point line, and jump around. Do a 180.
Wow. I actually loved that first release. I had low expectations. It was bizarre that you're doing like a two-footed turnaround jump into the jump shot. But I'm going to be honest with you, JT, that looks pretty pure.
That's, yeah, maybe a little too low on the dip to set, but it's nice.
Do you know what? Because when I was a kid, and when I say kid, I mean like 7, 8, 9 years old, I received intense shooting training from a professional basketball coach in New Zealand who was my friend's granddad, and he really drilled the fundamentals into me. So I think I know what a shot is supposed to look like and how the mechanics are supposed to work. But then I like went off on my own. I stopped playing basketball competitively. So I have no idea what my shot was looks like. I need to do this to like correct my action because it's probably ugly as foop.
I want to clarify for listeners with the 180 thing. I thought you meant do a 180 shot where you like a
turnaround jump
mid-air turnaround jump shot, but he's actually jumping around, landing, and then pulling up.
It's very weird,
like a regular shot.
So JT, is it going in? I guess that's part of the big question. It looks
swish, baby.
Looks very high arc, which is pretty good, right?
You want high arc. So it really is a window into what kids' lives are like now. Right, it's so easy to learn something online compared to reading it in a book.
Because you get to see the video instructions.
Exactly. And I would say it's making a big difference, but then if I try and dribble pull up, it all goes to hell.
Oh, that's very hard. I think that's pretty much everyone. Like, players in the NBA hardly do that now, right? Like, I guess they do it from three, which is even harder. But, you know, like, that kind of mid-range jump shot is, like, almost completely gone. I remember I tried to work on it and, you know, just couldn't shoot it at a high enough percentage. I've got to ask how much you're paying this Instagram jump shooting coach, or is that confidential?
Not confidential. It was $75 for the initial assessment. Pretty good value, actually. But there's a lot of great Instagram coaches on just giving out great tips for free. I'm loving it.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to see. I reckon after this lockdown, one of the best things for me has been getting fit. And we're all going to be fit, and then we'll have to go play some basketball. And I need to start working on my shot now because I don't want to get shown up by bloody JT.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm in.
I haven't played basketball in so long, and I'm really craving it. But I'm in the worst shape I've been in my life, but I'm trying to run every day to try and get it back.
Well, let me ask you, Paul. You haven't been playing basketball, but have you been following basketball?
Well, yeah, but it hasn't been happening.
I'm just segueing. It's time for the Week in Review. Week
in Review. It was very confusing.
What was confusing?
That was a great segue.
I thought it was all right.
It bamboozled me.
I'm trying to get any basketball content into the show I can. James Dolan has the coronavirus. Did you guys hear about this?
Yeah.
I'm not commenting. I feel like this is only... I feel like, get well soon, James.
Well, you see the internet laughing at him, and it seems like a real mistake, because I feel like we're all going to get coronavirus soon. So, like, people, like going, isn't it funny that such and such, this person I hate, has it? And it just seems like it really short-sighted, because, I mean, it's spreading like wildfire, and if you're America, you're guaranteed to get it, and if you're in New Zealand, well, a lot of people in New Zealand are going to get it too, so...
He's got a family, right? James Dolan. And by all accounts, people within the Knicks organization quite like James Dolan.
Yeah, okay, let's just look at two statements you said there. He's got a family. Hitler had a family.
I don't think it's okay to equate James Dolan with Hitler.
No, I'm not equating James Dolan with Hitler. I'm just saying you can't use that as a, he's got a family is not really an excuse for, you know, like some of the worst people in the world have had families.
But I'm saying it's not an excuse for saying that he's a great guy. It's just it's a reason to have empathy with someone.
Okay, so should we have empathy? Okay, I'm digging myself into a hole here. But can I just repeat, and I apologize, I'm not equating James Dolan to Hitler. Although if you were looking, no, okay, I'm not going to say anything more. And your second, what was your second point again? That people in the Knicks organization say he's nice. Who says he's nice? And you're saying people on his payroll like him.
Yeah, okay, I can see your point there.
That's like saying Birdie and Grimace think Ronald McDonald is a hell of a guy, man. You got to look where those checks are coming from. Do they not?
Yeah, bad analogy.
It would, no, he's not the CEO.
Yeah, a better analogy would be like Mayor Hamburger and that police hamburger.
that is impressive McDonald's history there. Mayor McCheese.
Mayor McCheese. That's right.
Man, it must be,
I always think he must be gutted that he wasn't the face, you know?
Massively.
Like, they came to the town and they were like, okay, we're looking for the face of the franchise. Okay, the mayor's like, okay, I'm pretty keen. And they're like, we're going to go with the local clown, the local pilot, the local criminal who's obviously broken out of jail or something. He's still wearing his like jail clothes, like known and convicted Hamburglar, and then Grimace, just like a purple blob. If you're Mayor McCheese, you must be gutted.
And
yeah, but you know who it would be if it was if they were making that decision in 2020. You know who it would be, don't you?
Who?
The plucky aviator Birdie, aka Birdie the Early Bird.
Why?
The first identifiably female character in the McDonald's character universe.
And the only.
I watched. I watched one of the first ad with Ronald McDonald in it. Terrifying. Genuinely terrifying. I recommend looking it up. Boy, is it scary.
I assume it'll be animated. It's real life. That's why it's so scary, probably, right?
It's black and white, and this freaky clown. Yeah.
There's some super weird stuff in there. Like, I've always found the Nugget. Do you remember they were like Nugget Kids? They were like a gang of kids, like Nugget Kids. And there was a Grimace had an uncle who was like, it's really like an offensive Irish caricature. He's called like, it's called like something O'Grimace. I know this because my brother used to collect McDonald's toys back when we were kids, but I'd love to deep dive on that sometime.
Yeah, and why?
Is there a documentary?
Ronald essentially is just a man with a painted face and a wig, right? But then he hangs out with a bird that's the same size as him, and then the Hamburglar, who's also just back to being a man but a cartoon man, whereas Ronald is just a real man with face paint. But then their mayor is a man with a hamburger as a head.
Yeah, but at least, right, like, so have you ever seen any of those, like, weird acid-fueled kids shows where they're just, like, creepy big monster puppets?
Yeah, like H&R puppet stuff, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, Ronald McDonald sort of, you can see how that plays out in a brainstorm, right? They're like, okay, well, it's the, okay, McDonald, Ronald, fine. Okay, what are kids like? Clowns, easy. But how do you come, what is the process that leads you to Grimace?
Do you know what I think? I think maybe like a designer or a concept artist or someone drew like 50 different ideas and they just took a bit from each of them, and that's kind of the only way it kind of makes sense, right? Like, because Grimace doesn't even make sense. Like, why would you have like a overweight, blobby, out of shape mascot for a fast food restaurant? Like, none of it makes sense.
Wow. Okay, guys, I'm on the McDonald's Wikipedia right now. This is going to blow your mind. Originally, Grimace was the evil Grimace with two pairs of arms, both designed to steal milkshakes.
What?
Wow.
Man, I want a milkshake right now. Is McDonald's closed around New Zealand?
Wow. I've Googled the first Grimace, and I can confirm he has two sets of arms, and both sets of arms are cradling milkshakes, presumably stolen.
Wow. Holy shit.
Hey, is McDonald's completely closed right now? That's pretty crazy, eh?
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Sorry.
I was going to say the Hamburglar will be running right.
Because do you guys find it weird how like much stricter New Zealand is than everyone else? Like, I in America, like, it's still a lot of things like I know Los Angeles and New York are locked down, but the rest of the country, are people just still going about like kind of like pretty normal daily lives? It's crazy.
So I bought a couple of clothing items from Australia, and they arrived in like 2 days' time, and I was gobsmacked.
Yeah.
Absolutely gobsmacked.
Yeah, weird times, obviously. Back to the basketball for a second. There's rumors that there's going to be an NBA 2K league starting up. Have you guys heard about that?
I have heard.
According to Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports, the NBA is launching a players-only NBA 2K tournament. If you don't know, it's a video game. And the event will be broadcast on ESPN. How crazy is that?
And it's how devastating would it be for those to be one of those like 2K nerds that just got drafted by one of the esports teams, and it's like, finally, he's got like 2,000 followers on Instagram. So happy. And now some actual NBA player is also going to be more famous for playing 2K.
I must admit, I'm keen to watch it, although I said I was keen to watch the La Liga FIFA tournament and never bothered watching that. Do you guys think you'll watch NBA players play 2K?
Hard no.
I think I'd tune in at least once to see what it was like.
If there are...
does it film them talking and stuff?
Yeah, if they're...
It'd be just funny.
Yeah, if they're some of the more outspoken players and they get to trash talk each other, that would be good value.
Mm. I will say this, with the esports, do they actually draft people to the teams?
Yeah,
like they have a live draft.
Yeah, people play for the Chicago Bulls esports team and stuff.
And because the Orlando Magic team, there's been like the odd game where they've been like, and there's the esports team coming to support, and there'll just be these nerdy guys there. But do they actually have to go and live like all together in like a house or something in Orlando?
Nah,
or...
I don't think it's like the semi-famous Twitch gangs. Maybe they do, but I don't think so.
I think that would be cool if they did. And secondly, I wonder it's not been going long, but like, do players, are there busts? Are there like draft busts? And guys like, just...
Great question.
There would be.
They got it wrong?
There definitely would be. I know there's definitely esport gamers and like Korea and stuff who like are like phenomenons and then don't live up to their potential or don't live up to their contract or like, you know, have a breakdown and can't perform at the high level anymore. Like it does, it's kind of like normal sports. It plays to my theory though that I'll watch anything if it's competitive and close, and I'm like, if this esport league gets going and it gets to the playoffs and like a couple of these guys are kind of entertaining, I'll definitely tune into that. But it's pretty hilarious how desperate ESPN is now.
They have a career ending like thumb injury, a real bad thumb injury, lose that the twitch fiber in your thumb.
I think that's a good point, Paul, because 2K gamers' careers would be a lot longer than your League of Legends, where it's all about clicks per minute, and you're basically over the hill at 22.
That's so amazing, that because you'd assume gaming would be a thing that you get better and better at, but like, is it the speed of your brain or the speed of your finger that makes kids better at esports?
It's reaction time. It's pure reaction time. So like the people are so good at like, so League of Legends, right? It's all moves and counter moves. So they, once you do start building, I don't really know the game that well, but say you, once it's evident what strategy you're doing, it's how quickly you can at a meta level react to that strategy. But then it's also around purely the time between your brain and your fingers clicking. And so the second part's as important as the overarching strategy. So people are honestly like aren't good past 22, 23.
The hilarious thing about esports is it's like they're harder to get into than actual sports, right? Like anyone can sit down and watch a game of adults out on a field running around trying to throw a ball through a hoop or kick a ball through a net. But like esports, like you actually have to understand, you almost have to play the game before you, because I just have no idea, League of Legends, I can't even imagine what they're doing. And then when you occasionally see it on TV or whatever, I just can't even begin, I struggle.
What is the vibe of League of Legends?
It's like real-time strategy.
Like Civilization?
Do you remember like Command & Conquer Red Alert? Really out of examples here. Like it's like Civilization, except not turn-based. It's all real-time, happening at the same time.
Yeah,
like Age of Empires.
Age of Empires, perfect.
That's what I was trying to say. I don't know. I'm embarrassed to say Civilization.
It always annoyed me how Age of Empires was so speed-based. Like I would want to focus on like layout of town, like making a nice town square, like more like city design.
Yeah.
And then like by the time I finished my town square, like this big army would come and just burn it to the ground, and I haven't even like built a barracks yet.
Yeah.
I don't even forget though. I was never good at Age of Empires, but once I started playing it for a few days or whatever, and I started like landing online with strangers, and it was like a 2-on-2 game, and I was like going along pretty slowly, and meanwhile, my enemies were building up big armies, and my teammate was building a big army, but while they were doing this, I sent boats out. And I found this small island out in the, because I was like on a coastal, little coastal town. I found this small island and I sent out on a boat a fortress, like one of those horse and carriages that turned into a fortress. And I set it up on the island. And then I put as many towers around it, like with the arches in it, as possible. And then I built walls around it. And then I put as many soldiers out there as I could. And then I just made as many warships as possible.
Yeah.
Surrounded it with warships. While this was happening, my teammate was getting destroyed by the other two teams who were ganging up on him. And he was like, he kept messaging being like, man, send help. I need help. Send help. But I was like just focused on this this island fortress. And then they destroyed him. And he was like, oh, good luck beating them 2-on-1 kind of thing. He was gone. Then they came and just ravaged my town that had no defense, like burned it to the ground, and I'd set off some people running, like, so they chased them for a while. Finally, like, found them, because they were scattered all over, like, I was, like, moving them around, because they hadn't uncovered, they finally got to the stage where they could uncover all the mist, and they could see, and they killed them, and then they sent a boat out to this, like, dot out in the water, and it just got absolutely ravaged, and they kept sending boats out, and they would just get absolutely destroyed by this island, and it went for legit, like, hours of their messaging being like, you've lost, man, can you just quit?
Well,
and
me
being like, no, you've got to get through this island stronghold, and anyway, great, eventually they did win, I think,
but
it took hours. Was great, and there was nothing I could do, so I could just leave and go do whatever I wanted.
Well, you you didn't win the game,
you still won,
but you pissed them off, and I mean that's a win in many ways, is it?
I agree.
A lot of people.
So can I just weigh in on it? I've got to actually, Paul. I've been the other guy in that exact scenario.
Yeah.
We had a LAN in Dunedin, and I feigned ignorance to Age of Empires, and then went online and found out like the build order to get to Castle Age as quickly as possible, memorized it, and just and destroyed everyone in my flat except for one guy who's holed out in an island just like that with some sort of longbowman. And I still have that save game file. We had to like pause it halfway through, and he's been running from me ever since, but I swear in my life I will finish that game.
Either that or the computer will no longer run the app. What's the difference between a program and an app? I'll talk about that another time. The people are talking about the NBA returning, and this is ESPN and Athletic broadcasters who have got to write something about basketball, so I guess you've got to just speculate if the NBA will come back. Do you guys think there's any chance of it coming back, or is it done forever?
Wait, what do you mean?
Well, I'm just thinking surely it's not coming back until like... until it's time for next season at the most optimistic estimate, in which case that they possibly will cancel the season this year. I think realistically we'll look at that, right?
I think it'll surely... I mean, I guess I'm an optimist, but I assume the season will finish.
So what's happening in China? Because that's the big... That's a good sort of bellwether for it, right?
Brian Windhorse asked, tweeted... a couple of hours ago, the Chinese government issued a new order today restricting resumption of team sports, a heavy blow for pro basketball to return as soon as planned. China's attempt to restart sports are being watched closely by leagues across the world. Huge issue as asymptomatic carriers are hard to detect. And that's the fact, right? Like that you get one person in one of these leagues and it's not going to happen, even if everyone isn't in the leagues in isolation. And it's so hard to tell because you can't just take all resources away to run your luxury sports league. It just, for me, people saying the league's going to come back. I was listening to some muppet from The Athletic talking about how he wanted to cancel the rest of the regular season and get straight into playoffs. And he was talking about how, like, because exposure to the virus is the biggest problem. And I was like, if exposure to the virus is at all a problem, then the season is cancelled. And I feel like anyone writing an article right now saying the Premier League or the NBA is coming back is absolutely dreaming. And I'm now on team probably the season's going to be cancelled, I'd say. And I'm of the opinion that even if they have to wait till 2022, they should finish the season. But realistically, they'll probably just look at ending it, I reckon.
I tell you what, it's kind of good news for Lakers haters, is their team is like all like 48 years old.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Who does it hurt the most?
Definitely LeBron James, and that is because the guy's already old. He's playing at an unbelievable level, and yeah, don't get me wrong, he's probably in a cryogenic chamber right now, like resting his muscles. But you can't beat Father Time. No one's beat him before, and every day that goes past is working against him. And a massive cancellation of the season, which right now it looks like it's going to be at least 5 or 6 months at the most optimistic I could possibly be. And this is not coming from an opinion of expertise, obviously, it's just my opinion, but like looking at the writing on the wall, I'm like, LeBron is, it's a real shame for him, I think.
And I know no one can beat Father Time, but you'd have to admit right now, it's pretty even. Like, I would marginally give LeBron the edge.
Yeah, good point.
So, do we agree that it hurts the Lakers?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Most out of any team?
Definitely Lakers, probably Rockets, as their mental owner is, like, you know, already worried about his Bubba Gump shrimp company.
If he's bad, apart. Though, it could be a blessing that he has to sell the team, you know?
Yeah, but I doubt, would he sell low? You know, surely you'd wait a couple of years until, like, the league and the world has recovered before you try and sell it. Don't get me wrong, there's probably billionaires out there who are looking to asset buy, and there's probably about 10 people who could jump in and take it, but you'd probably wait until it'd be the absolute dream, I think Rockets would probably be in trouble. Who are the other contenders who are like this year make or break? Clippers have still got have got years to go, so they're all right. Bucks are in their prime. Raptors are done, but I didn't think Raptors were serious contenders anyway, but Paul, you'd be sad about that.
Who does it help the most?
The Orlando Magic, whose 12-year plan is going perfect. Golden State,
It helps the Magic. It does, because imagine if come playoff time we got Jonathan Isaac. We've got a healthy roster. Jonathan Isaac, Al-Farouq Aminu.
Well, yeah, the dream team.
Yeah, the chief back.
The dream team comes back, but in all seriousness, though, if one of these, I think all these ESPN and Athletic guys are full of shit when they talk about like how the playoffs would work if you came back and having a 3-game opening round and stuff like that. But for the Magic, as an 8th seed, that would be the only chance of beating the Bucks, right? Would be if it was a 3-game series, you win the first and then you've just got to fluke the second. Like they beat the Raptors last year. You've just got to fluke the second game and all of a sudden you're like out of the first round.
Hey, Paul, Mark Alfoltz has been quite quiet on Instagram, eh? I think this might be quite a good thing for that shoulder.
Yeah.
Faithful to the grind.
Do you think Instagram posts are a bad sign for his shoulder?
Yeah, because he's one of the most pendulum-swinging Instagram posters I've ever seen. You know how he'll have, like, spates of going weeks where he'll have 3 or 4 inspirational quotes per day or, like, 8 photos about a family member, and then he'll just delete everything and go silent or with the occasional cryptic update? Yeah. So I think silence is golden when it comes to Markelle Fultz. That's what I'm saying.
Wow.
Okay.
Hey,
when he first arrived in Orlando, yeah, people got really scared when he first deleted everything. But then someone had to be like, "No, he does this. This is what he does. He'll just clear it, start again."
Good on her. I should do that with all my social media presences, and now's probably the time to do it. We're getting into Magic Chat. It's time, right about that time, for the stars to roll on out. Did someone say someone and talk over the Sting? What was going on?
Paul said uh-oh and I laughed.
Why'd you say uh-oh, Paul?
I don't know. I was trying to prep before real quickly, but I haven't really. Okay. I mean, there's not a lot's happened in the Magic universe, so I'll keep it short. I don't know where, but the main story this year, a lot of people were reminiscing on the 09 finals run of the Magic, and including one Carmelo Anthony, who thinks, I don't know when he said this.
He's been doing a lot of live chats, live streams.
Yes, it was in his much highly controversial live to Dwayne Wade on Instagram. Can we just talk, man, people are turning on. I mean, people have always kind of not liked Carmelo Anthony, but Dwayne Wade has really cemented himself as one of the most hated players.
Oh, you mean on NBA X-Pro. Reddit or in the world?
Well, they're both in the world, right?
Nah, I think there's multiple worlds. There's like a Twitter bubble, you know, there's a political bubble, there's an NBA Reddit is definitely a specific bubble, and while we hate...
It's a bubble of NBA fans.
Yeah, but it's not like it's a very small demographic of like men between the ages of 18 and 20 and 35 or whatever. You know, like it's like, and they're all generally white, middle class. Like, you know, probably leans a little bit international. Like, I don't know. There's just it is definitely as a bubble, I think.
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right, Guy. Because I think actually Dwayne Wade in other circles is at his zenith of popularity.
Like. We just put it down to that dunk contest, but most people just saw that, thought it was funny and controversial, and moved on. But NBA Reddit, we'll talk about it for the rest of.
No, it was not just that. It's just the way in every interview, and he just seems like a jerk, right?
Well, we'll just go to that first controversy because I was really annoyed that they were apparently, according to ESPN and Twitter and stuff, having a go at Darko Milicic, who was the second pick in between LeBron and Carmelo. I think it was the same draft as Dwayne Wade. I think he was fifth or sixth, maybe, and he was a bust, right? And then I actually went back and watched.
Better career than Melo.
No, he did not do that. But
one win versus no wins. Melo can't say nothing.
They looked like real assholes, and Darko Milicic was asked about it. And don't get me wrong, Darko Milicic made millions of dollars. You didn't feel that sorry for him, and he did fail in his job that he was hired to do. Carmelo and D-Wade were just shooting the shit. And it's really cool that we get to see two guys just trash talk and have a laugh. And they weren't even that arrogant. They were just two Basel players just like having a chat like there was no one else in the room. And they were like airing that. And I think it's kind of what ruins discourse a little bit. I mean, I'm sounding real serious here. But what I mean is just like two people just talking, celebrities talking freely and openly, or athletes, when people grab every little line that could possibly be misconstrued as like a slight or trash talk or, controversial, and turning that into an article. And really, they were just casually joking about it. And Carmelo kind of flippantly said, if I got drafted by Detroit, I would have won three championships. And yeah, that's arrogant, but that's what you say when you're talking to your friends. Like, it's fun chat. And I feel annoyed that people kind of jumped on that a little bit.
Yeah, no, he's just so hateable that, and it's just so annoying. He always has all these like what ifs. So that's what I was going to talk about. That's why I brought him up in Magic Mayhem.
Okay.
He says that if they'd beaten the Lakers in 2009, they would have swept the Magic in the finals.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Get out of here, man. Your best, you're freaking. You're mental, mate.
Yeah. You tried to list another player on those Nuggets.
Allen Iverson? No, 33-year-old Allen Iverson. Oh, he only played three games.
That was probably Chauncey Billups and Kenyon Martin, right?
Yeah, Big Shot Billups.
Yeah, but 32-year-old Chauncey Billups. Nene was there, like... next best player. J.R. Smith was a key player.
Nene was actually all right, but just rewind. But it is. I agree with you. It's really annoying. It's like, yeah, the Houston Rockets could have won six championships in the last 3 years. If this and that had gone right, and Chris Paul's thumb was okay, but it's like they didn't. And in sport, you can't say that. And it's really annoying that like when LeBron James and Chris Bosh and D Wade, three of the best players in the NBA, got together on the same team in Miami, and not only that, decimated the other good teams, Toronto and Cleveland, by leaving them. Everyone was like, yeah, these guys are probably right when they say they're going to win seven championships. And then, of course, they only managed two, right? Like, it's just so hard to win a championship. And even KD on the Warriors could only win two, right? Like, it's so, so difficult. Injuries and just so many things can go wrong that, like, it's just crazy when people speculate. So I understand your frustration.
But, Paul, on Dwayne Wade specifically, this has surprised me because quite often I agree with you, but I feel like I hated Dwayne Wade, hated him, up until like 6 months ago. And I don't think it's the thing with Zaya. I really respected that, so maybe that's...
Wait, what was it?
What's Zaya? JT, you got to explain Zaya, why you like him.
Oh, sorry. So Zaya is him and is his... I think so. She now identifies as a she, but she came out trans about 2 months ago. Yeah. And he was quite vocally supportive, which I guess in a... coming from a basketball, which is like notoriously homophobic, as notorious, pretty cool how vocal he was in support.
It's not his kid.
I actually didn't think he... I forgot. No, it's a kid. It's his kid, right?
His kid, yeah.
Oh, it's his own child.
I actually forgot about that, but I will say this. I liked him when he was like young D-Wade for the Heat, that championship with Shaq. I liked him back then.
That's when I hated him.
Right, I hated I hated him later in his career, and then I forgot about that story you brought up. But I just remember him getting furious at his son's high school coach for not playing him on TV. The dunk contest, and then the Dirk Nowitzki cough.
That's when I hated him the most.
Yeah. I think he just seems like
Paul,
a jerk.
Paul, how much though, honestly, if you were to do a pie graph, what does the pie graph look like as a proportion of it's purely based on the dunk comp?
Not that much.
Yeah. Really?
What I think is interesting about this, because I hear both of your views and agree and disagree with each of them equally, it's just interesting how you can both look at the same player and have completely opposite perspectives of them. And I think it speaks for everyone. It's like you have an opinion of a politician or something like that, and it can be based on one small thing or one thing they said, or you know, it just doesn't take much to create an opinion and form it. It's just kind of fascinating. But one person that I had
I just want to say, I reckon give him 5 years, I reckon both of you will hate him.
I'm not That's a big fan of D-Wade at the moment. I don't like his big hats, but I've definitely loved him in the past, and yeah, it changes. But you know, I just think he's just a billionaire basketball player living his best life. And yeah, shout out to him. He seems like a decent person. He's just a bit of a muppet sometimes. But Darko Milicic did not seem like a decent person. Like, he got drafted into the NBA, dyed his hair like Eminem, sulked on the bench for about five seasons while getting paid the payroll, while all the other players that got drafted around him really succeeded massively. I think that was the same draft as Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, I think maybe Chris Paul, LeBron James, obviously, Chris Bosh. They're all of that generation. Maybe Chris Paul was a year or two beforehand. But the point is, it was one of the most amazing, probably the most amazing draft ever. And Darko did not do himself any favors by not only struggling to perform, but also looking like a bit of a douche. But man, did he respond maturely to the fake controversy that ESPN or whatever made up. I thought it was quite poetic what he wrote, and I wanted to read it out if that's okay. He said, "Wasn't my story already told? They thank God made it. I didn't. We're not kids, we're grown men. I hope you're mature enough to understand that life is full of rises and falls. Advice to them, because I think of them more or less as good guys, is to not judge and mock when, thank God, you do not go through the path that I went through. To them, I wish them all the best, as always, and I salute their careers. All the best for further in life and lots of success and less judgments."
Wow.
How beautiful is that?
If you're mellow, you can't judge no one until you do something. Get a grip, man.
But Paul, you don't want to jump on guys like Mello and D Wade. It was really cool to be able to see them just chatting so candidly. Don't like shoot them down for that, I reckon. Otherwise, they'll just say everything.
Carmelo deserves to be shot down.
Nah.
Until you do something in your career, you got to be shot down.
I feel like I feel like Carmelo's your Darko, Paul.
What do you mean?
Wait till he hears this in response to you in a mature way.
Carmelo has done stuff as well. He's the NCAA champion with Syracuse, and I think he's the most winningest Olympic basketball player of all time.
Yeah, but his record is bad for Team USA. People try and say, like, oh, he's great in international basketball. He might suck in the NBA, but he's great at international basketball.
No one says he sucks in the NBA. He just had a career less than what he was expected to do. Like, in his rookie and second season, a lot of people thought he was better than LeBron.
I'm a Melo lover, and unashamedly.
Okay. Is that the end of Magic Mayhem, Paul? Got any more mayhem? JT, you said you had some mayhem to get in there.
Oh, yeah, Paul. I just wanted to ask you, as a Total Magic...
He's 3-2 for Team USA.
Well, he's got three. That's three gold medals is probably like the record, right? It's more a sign that just not many American players go back for three Olympics. Like, most people move on. But anyway, JT, you had something to say?
Oh yeah, Paul. I just wanted to ask you whether Penny Hardaway is he like well regarded in the Magic fan community, the magicians or whatever you call?
Good question.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Because I always think, like, have you been following his coaching career?
No, not really. I know he was involved in the big scandal, obviously, this year.
With Memphis. Well,
because I've got a theory, Paul.
Yeah.
I think so. I am only aware of him because I love the Penny Hardaway shoes. I forget what they're all called, but specifically the ones. And
they're called the Penny Ones, I think.
Yeah, right, and they've just been re-released. And anyway, I was looking through that hashtag, and he seems to have the best relationship with all his players, like, incredible.
Yeah.
So what better coach for a young Magic team than Penny Hardaway?
Yeah, I could see it happening in the future.
If he's not
get him in there as a...
I mean, I feel like their season... Memphis's season wasn't great this year, right? Like, marred by scandal.
So get him in there as, like, an offensive coordinator or something, whatever you... Yeah. I don't know what... Under the great...
Steve Clifford.
Oh, Steve Clifford, yeah. Just an idea, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, I'd be really keen to have him involved, for sure. Get him in. Yeah, keen.
Hey, JT, you claimed 2 weeks ago that we owed you an apology for something we said on the podcast... And I listened back to the podcast, and I still can't figure out what we have to apologize for.
Yeah, so I can't remember all the specifics, but there was something along the lines of I was proving how good a guesstimator I was, and yeah. We were talking about Kevin Love's career earnings, and I said on the spot that he'd earned $140 million, and you were like, no way, that's laughable, there's no way he's earned that much, when in fact he has... In fact, earned today something like $150 million.
Wow. Well,
I listened back, and this is what I heard. JT wanted to guess how much he'd made, and he guessed 160. I said, I'll Google it. JT guessed 160 million. Guy said he thought not that high, and then I said I couldn't find it on the internet. So I owe no apologies.
And what's the actual what's the actual answer?
Well, I don't know. I said I couldn't find it on the internet.
Yeah, I wish that one of the three of us had in the weeks following actually looked up his career earnings. But I looked it up enough to feel confident.
Yeah, but according to Paul, I only said not that high. And if it's
now you laid it on thick. You were like, no way, Paul. I think Paul's underselling how vehemently you are. You said I was overestimating.
Okay, well, I listened to it back as well as I could as well, and I couldn't even find anything. Maybe I just, like, zoned out during that bit, but, like, I couldn't... Yeah, I mean, mate, if you want to get an apology, I'm not apologising today. You're going to have to find some hard evidence. I want a transcript. I want evidence. I want facts. I want basketball reference.
Okay, I've got it. Hoops Hype
Yeah.
has This is only including the 18-19 season, not including 19-20.
Okay.
And he's due to make another $20 million. And his career earnings were $146 million.
Wow. And what'd you guesstimate?
160.
Wow.
So I was eight million short.
Yeah, okay. And but, okay.
I've got a website here, Spot Track. I come on here often to look at players' contracts and stuff.
I would say it's probably more accurate than Hoops Hype, but yeah.
Their estimation, 12 seasons, $174.5 million.
Ooh, maybe that includes endorsements.
Oh, baby.
No, that's just contracts.
I still won't apologize, JT, until you need to clarify. I don't mean wrong. I think I maybe doubted you or said lower, but you need to clarify how, like, adamant. If I was like, you're an F-wit, mate. Like,
okay,
you know,
so how about, let's negotiate this. I don't need an apology. I just need a heartfelt admission that I was right and acknowledgement of what a great guesstimate.
Okay, so can I just, for a start, be like Trump and say I am not, just, can I just acknowledge that I'm not making an apology right now and an apology will never be given? But what I will say is I would just like to acknowledge that JT did an excellent guesstimation of Kevin Love's career earnings up until the 2019-2020 season. And I'm going to be the bigger man here. I'm even going to tip my hat to you. Tip of the hat to say what you estimated, mate.
I would like an apology from JT for claiming that I doubted him and his estimating skills.
This is really turned on JT, hasn't it? Okay. The accusation is worse.
All
than
I wanted to do was Google it so I could just say the actual number on the podcast.
Okay, well, Paul, I want to extend my heartfelt apology for accusing you of wrongdoing. I would point out, though, that, you know, there are times when you should say something, and not saying something is almost, you're almost guilty by not sticking up for someone. I just want to put that out there, okay?
Yeah, okay. And I personally would like to offer a heartfelt apology to Carmelo Anthony for firing up at him before. 3-2 isn't that bad for Team USA. I mean, some would argue that.
No, I'd say that is bad when they're the favorite every year. That is pretty bad.
Yes, he was pretty young in some of those first ones.
Some would argue that at the World Champs in 2002 or whatever, is that when the first time, before they even got drafted, like LeBron and Carmelo were like getting experience and they lost? Were they in that one? Or was it Greece, the Greece Olympics 2004? And it was Larry Brown's fault for not playing Carmelo and LeBron, which is why they came third. Like, they probably would have been better with LeBron and Carmelo on the floor kind of thing.
Melo, you came for my magic. You disrespected them. I was angry. and you're an easy target for having a bad career and not playing defense and thinking offense is everything. It's not.
This is like a backhanded. This is a backhanded apology.
Yeah, it's
a heartfelt apology.
But Paul,
I was thinking how proud I was of this podcast for how mature we've responded to the COVID crisis.
Okay, I just apologize without any further comment.
Also not controversial to think Carmelo's a bit of a douche. I just want him to continue to be a douche on Instagram Live because it's fun and I enjoy listening to NBA players be douches.
And just before we get through the apologies, because I just want to get a dig in at someone then apologize, I feel like Brian Windhorst brings up the fact he knows people in China too much. I get it. I'm not impressed. Okay. I'm sorry, Brian, but it's not that cool to know people in China.
Well, I think it's pretty cool. I don't know anyone in China.
I could if I wanted.
Okay. This is a challenge for you by next week's podcast. Get a friend in China. I reckon it's going to be harder than you think.
Oh, I already do. Does it have to be a new friend?
Okay. What friend do you have in China?
A guy, Lee, who came to my high school to learn English, and I befriended him. He came to a football practice, not realizing it was an organized team, and I befriended him, and we're friends. And he brought me presents when he came and visited from China a couple of years ago. Great guy.
Wow, okay, that's a true... can I just say how bad it is? Are you saying this guy came from China and he had to go to Palmerston North, New Zealand?
He did. He didn't have to. I'm sure he loved it.
That is brutal. Like, at least,
not good,
at least choose a New Zealand town that's on the water. Like, there's a lot of crap holes in New Zealand that are, like, beautiful. And, like even Timaru, I'm like, that is a beautiful place, even though it's not known for being the best town. But Palmy North is pretty brutal if you're from China. Like, anyway. I guess he got a real, like, agricultural experience, maybe.
Yeah, and you got a great friend as well, so.
Oh, that's lovely. Just before we go, Paul, do you have time for a bit of movie magic? Or
yeah.
Let's do it.
Also, I was just thinking, man, there's some
Paul,
quarantine.
The music's playing. Oh, but you can say what you're going to say.
No, just keep the music playing. Welcome to Movie Magic. I assume the music stopped. Can't hear it.
You kind of talked over it, but that's fine.
This week, a throwback to two. We travel back to 2011. Happier times. I don't know where you guys were. I was in Wellington, New Zealand. Where were you guys in 2011?
2011, I was living in London, I think. Mr. International?
It actually came out in New Zealand in 2012, early 2012, the summer. Guy, where were you, the summer of 2012, Auckland?
I was where I am right now, Auckland, New Zealand. That's embarrassing. What's happening with my life, eh?
But anyway, Martin Scorsese, Hugo. What a flick. Rewatched it the other night. You guys seen it?
No. Is this the animated boy one?
No.
Can you give us a brief premise? I remember the name of it, but I can't remember. I thought it was... I'm getting confused with Polar Express or Midnight Express or whatever.
Hugo, he lives in a train station in Paris. He fixes the clocks and he sets the time on the clocks and he lives kind of in the walls and roofs of the train station.
Wait,
I don't want to spoil it.
Does he have a family? Is this a child who has to do
child labor? Orphan. He's an orphan.
That's horrific.
Yeah.
I've already got a lot of questions about Hugo.
Yeah, okay. Have you seen it?
Nah, but it has. But has anyone checked in on Tom Hanks recently? It just reminded me. That story went quiet.
He's all good.
Right. And was he involved in Hugo or we... No.
No, he's in the Polar Express.
Yeah, we're all getting...
Right, that's the movie I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Polar Express.
Okay. So this is more like Hunchback of Notre Dame style.
I guess, yeah, kinda. A little bit. But he doesn't have any sort of disability. He is kind of annoying, Hugo. Like he's just kind of annoying the whole time. That's my one complaint with the movie, is that Hugo is a little unlikable and annoying.
Which is pretty bad for your main central character, who the type movie's named after. Can he leave?
Still a great
Can point. He leave his job fixing the clocks, or is he stuck there for the rest of his life?
Well, he doesn't want to, because then he'll get sent to the orphanage, and they make the orphanage out to sound like it's quite a bad place. So he lives there because basically... I don't want to spoil too much, but his uncle was living in there. He lives in this, like, horrible little apartment in the walls, and he goes and he sets the clocks, and he brings Hugo in to kind of help him.
And then the uncle
and
dies.
And then the uncle just disappears, basically, and Hugo's like, if they find out I'm here by myself, they'll take me to the orphanage. So I just need to make sure the clocks keep going and keep a low profile. And, you know, steal food and drink.
Paul, you were doing an excellent job of whetting my appetite, sir. I'm feeling the magic of the movies seep into me.
A wonderful film. Some really funny moments. Some really heartwarming moments. A great score. It's just a classy flick, I think. You think it's about one thing, but then it kind of ends up being about something completely different. It's a great flick.
I will say, though, Paul, you're very impartial to, like, stories about, like... This seems like your dream film. Like, it sounds like you wrote it about, like, small boys living in railway stations. Like, I feel like that's your main genre of films you like.
Correct, yes.
Polar Express, Paddington 2.
No, I haven't seen the Polar Express. Paddington 2 is an unbelievable film.
Paddington, so I thought I was getting tricked, right? Like, I'm not a big movie buff, as you know, and I a friend of mine was strongly encouraging me to watch Paddington 1 and 2, and I thought I was being duped and that this was some sort of gag slash trick. That those are actually probably one of my favorite ever sequels, you know, like, considering both movies. Yeah. So good.
Yeah, really.
Thank you,
really.
Paddington.
I've got to watch them. I've got to check them out for next week. And Paul, you'd strongly recommend Hugo?
I think it's a great flick, yeah. And just, like, Christopher Lee in it is, like, he's a very small role, but, man, every time he speaks, you just want to cry.
Wow, is he dead now, R.I.P. Christopher Lee?
Yes, he did pass away, which I think is partly one of the reasons...
Makes it so sad.
...why he passed away just a few years after, about 3 years after, yeah.
And it's like when you watch Harry Potter and you know that Gandalf is dead and you're like, Gandalf, I love you.
But are you talking about the actor Richard Harris?
Yeah.
He's just in the first movie. He got replaced.
I thought it was real funny that I called him Gandalf and you didn't notice. Anyway, thank you for watching Movie Review, Movie Magic, and getting into the magic of the movies. That was Hugo. Also recommend Paddington 1 and 2. And that was the end of our podcast. I think we did pretty well, considering there's nothing to talk about. We find stuff to talk about every week. Oh,
and can we tease a little for next week, a little check back in on...
You're going to make a Chinese friend.
Yeah. And also, love to check back in on Basketball GM. And yes. I did also have a request from a listener for a suggested segment that he wanted to be called Like It or Loathe It, but I don't like that title. But there's a couple of questions, top hot button questions for next week's podcast.
Oh, sick. Oh, well, it's going to be a good podcast, especially with you and your new Chinese friend. Maybe you can guest on the pod.
Yeah. Next week,
I might have on Basketball GM... I might try and line it up so my team is ready for, like, the playoffs or maybe even the finals or something. Try and, like, line it up and simulate live on podcast.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
I'll believe it when I see it. Thanks to everyone for listening. I've been Guy Williams.
I've been JT, General Manager of the Mexico City Aztecs.
And I don't do it anymore, but it is worth noting that I've moved teams, and I'm no longer with the Seattle Symphony, and I'm now with the Tampa Bay Turtles.
Wow!
Yeah, congrats, Paul.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Just a nice to climb.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.